Oh, that's right. We're going to be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 16 and 17. And again, these are very familiar stories, but I want to look at something first. Let's look again at 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. If you remember, the 1st and 2nd Samuel have these bookends at both ends of the... right at the beginning is Hannah's song. Right at the end of 2 Samuel is David's song. These are bookends that kind of encompass all of the events in 1st and 2nd Samuel. And these are really lessons about our God. The characters are Saul, Samuel, David, David's son. But the stories are really about who God is in the midst of all these stories. And look at verse 2 and 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 2. Hannah sings, "There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides thee. Nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed." Last week we looked at how Samuel was lamenting because now Saul has failed as king. And God has told Samuel, "I'm going to appoint a new person." And that's what we're going to be looking at in these chapters in verses 16 and 17. This is really, and you'll recognize the stories, and I really need you to read ahead because I can't read all of these, all of the chapters in here, or all of the verses in these two chapters. This is really about the choice of David now, and it is a familiar story, but as we think through this, I want to ask a couple questions. Have you ever been fooled by someone? I looked at Larry and I thought, policemen seem to know, like, if somebody's lying or something. And I don't know how they do it. I don't know, and it seems like they can't be fooled like some of us. Have you ever misjudged someone? I remember I got a new boss at work once, and you probably shouldn't put this on the website. But I totally fell for this. "I don't want to be your boss. I want to be your friend." He was tall, dark, handsome. Really, I mean, he looked the part. And later, we discovered he was not what he seemed. And we were fooled. And I really felt gullible after it was over. I thought, how there should have been all the things he was saying. I should have saw red flags everywhere. But on the outside, he looked really, really good and sounded really, really good. And we make judgments, and I make judgments on external things. He did look the part. He did sound confident and charismatic. He dressed well. The problem is, I only saw the externals. And that's what I judge on. I couldn't see his heart. So I was fooled. It's different with God. Our God knows without limits. That's what Hannah just saying. We have a God of knowledge, a strong, unchanging God. He sees the external and he knows the heart. That's what chapter 16 is about. And it is a very familiar story. And in reality, David was a very unlikely choice. If you just pull back and not think about all the times you've heard this story in Sunday school, and let me read verses... I'm going to read the beginning of this, 1 through 13, or 14, I forget where it ends. In verse 16, chapter 1, or verse 1. "Now when David had passed..." Wait a minute, where am I? I'm looking at 2 Samuel. No wonder it was 1 Samuel, chapter 16. What did I say? I'm on drugs, so... I have an excuse. I have an excuse. Is it The Hobbit? Is it The Hobbit or Lord of the Rings? No, never mind. chapter 16, 1 Samuel, chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have selected a king for myself from among his sons." But Samuel said, "Well, how can I go? When Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' And you shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you." So Samuel did what the Lord had said and came to Bethlehem. And the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, "Do you come in peace?" You know, Samuel was still the judge of Israel. This was probably a scary thing. What is he coming to do against us? And he says, verse 5, and he said, "In peace, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate for yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And then it came about when they entered, and he looked at Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before him." First son comes by. Good looking, first son, firstborn. This has got to be him. But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." You know, for unsaved people, this would be a very scary verse. Because I used to want God to see my good works. You know, look how often I come to church. Look how often I give. Look how often I... But God looks at him and says to Samuel, "Don't look on the outward appearance. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Something was wrong with Eliab's heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And then Samuel said to Jesse, "Are these all the children?" And he said, "Well, there remains yet the youngest, and behold, he is tending the sheep." Then Samuel said to Jesse, "Well, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with beautiful eyes and a handsome appearance, and the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is he." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Again, this is a very familiar story, but there's this, it's like God sees David at this, he says he was ruddy and he had beautiful eyes and handsome appearance. God saw, could see the outside, but he also saw his heart. And he says to Samuel, "This is the one. This is who you need to anoint." And again, he's a very unlikely choice. Usually it's the firstborn. Usually it's the head of the family. And God said, "No, I see David's heart." And this is the first of three anointings that we're going to see in the book. And the final anointing is when Samuel anoints, I don't know if it's Samuel, he's anointed as king of over Israel after Saul is dead. So this story is really, it's about David, but it's really about God's choice of seeing David's heart. And in a minute, we're going to see what God saw in David's heart. And then verses 14 through 23 is when, you know, Saul starts going, and people, you read the commentaries, everything from he had ADD to bipolar to you know, nobody really knows what happened to Saul, other than it says in verse 14, now the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord terrorized him. There, something happened when the Lord departed from him and anointed David. Saul was, you know this story, he goes crazy, and they said, well, if music will calm him down. And it's kind of interesting how that does do it for all of us, actually. And as we read through this book, you start to see David becomes more and more prominent in this book. And this is really the first event where they go send messengers, and they said, well, David knows how to play. Verse 20, and Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread and a jug of wine and a young goat and sent them to Saul by David his son. Then David came to Saul and attended him, and Saul loved him greatly, and became his armor bearer. And Saul went to Jesse, saying, "Let David now stand before me, for he has found favor in my sight." As you read through, and I'm not going to read all the verses in the next chapter, but there's a lot of questions that you have, because later on, it's like Saul doesn't recognize who David is, and you're kind of curious I'm kind of curious, because here he recognizes, and I don't know if it's because Saul is like goofy and he's just gone off his rocker and he forgets easy. I can relate to that, forgetting easy. But that's what happens. Now David is before Saul. He's his armor bearer. David is beginning to become more prominent in this book. Chapter 17, this is a chapter that you. We've heard this story since we were. I asked Diane, I said, what do you think is the most popular story or most recognized story in the Bible? Huh? Noah's Ark would be one. What's another one? Huh? David and Goliath. What's another one? What's the big one? Huh? Christmas story. The Christmas story. But almost everybody, I mean, I don't think you could grow up in the United States without ever hearing about David and Goliath, right? I mean, and we kind of, this, and that's the chapter that we're looking at. Verse 17 is about David and Goliath. It's this young boy with a stick and a sling and five stones against a fully armed, fully trained, giant Philistine. And here in this story, we see what God saw in David's heart. There's more to this story than, you know, this little kid or little boy against Goliath. And we love stories like David and Goliath. The underdog against a highly favored opponent. Anybody see the movie Hoosiers? It's a great story. We love the story. You know, this little basketball team. And I can remember when Gene Hackman goes and measures the basketball net and says, 10 feet. You know, measures the court. It's the same court. I remember when I played football, my dad said, you know, they put their pants on one leg at a time, and I, just like you. And I said, but Dad, their legs are like this big. And this is for my kids. Baylor against Kansas State, number one. Did you know that this, if Notre Dame would have lost, it would have been 3 weeks in a row where the top-rated team was knocked off. A&M against Alabama. These are stories we love to see. We feel good when the little guy wins. Because then I think there's hope for me when the little guy wins. This is another kind of aside. I'm going Tuesday to Akron to give a on an interview. And I looked up the other two people that are giving interviews, and they're like these gigantic graphic design firms. They've won tons of awards. One's from New York, one's from Chicago. They've got, this is like David against two Goliaths. And I'm thinking, I hope they don't look at their websites, because that wouldn't pick me if I looked at them. But we love these stories. But the story is more about God than it is about David. It's more about God than it is about David. It's about our God who knows David will be king, and God will not fail. And It's interesting because Diane's brother said, what would have happened? This would have taken on a different perspective if chapter 17 would have been before 16. Because then we wouldn't have known that David was about to be king and that God had selected him. And it would have been a little scarier. But the reality is, God knows the beginning from the end. He saw David's heart. And as we read through this, the verses, and I'm not going to read them all, verses 1 through 9, it describes Goliath. And I know, you know, if you've been in Sunday school at all, they usually have a picture of him, you know, shows you what 9 feet tall is, and fully armed, bronze shield and bronze armor and a bronze spear, scary guy. And then verse 11, or look at verse 10 and 11. These are kind of, it gives you the atmosphere of what was really happening. It's in verse 10. Again, the Philistine said, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. And when Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Ever feel afraid? Ever feel dismayed? Ever look out and go, I mean, I'm doing this now. I'm thinking, why even show up in Akron? They were greatly, or dismayed and greatly afraid. And then verses 12 through 19, it talks about David's oldest sons. Now, David was a son of, I'll just read a few of these. David was a son of the Ephratite of Bethlehem in Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had eight sons, and Jesse was old in the days of Saul and advanced in years. And it talks about the three oldest sons that were not deemed to be king went off to war with Saul. That's what happens. And then at the end of like verse 18 through and 19, Jesse says to David, bring also these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their thousand and look into the welfare of your brothers and bring back news of them. For Saul and they are, and all the men of Israel are in the valley of Elah fighting the Philistines. So David, I mean, talk about an, really, I mean, we know David now, and you know what he did. But at this point, he was a delivery boy. He wasn't even thought of in the rest of the family when they were picking the king, when Jesse was going to parade them in front of Samuel. Now he's a delivery boy. Go out and where the real soldiers are and give them this food. A very unlikely guy. Verse 20 through 25, it talks about how the armies each day go out and they face each other. And then as they're facing each other, Goliath comes out in front of the Philistine army and says, send me out a guy. And apparently this was common where, it's kind of a nice way to do a war. It's like Hunger Games, right? Isn't that the principle of Hunger Games? You have a few people fight and... apparently that was, you know, one of the ways you do it. You just have two guys fight, then you save all the rest of these guys, and not everybody has to die. But it's all on these two guys fighting. Look at verse 24. Let me read 23 and 24. As they were talking with them, behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, named Goliath, was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke these same words, and David heard them. And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they fled from him, and they were greatly afraid. I mean, the scene of this thing, of an entire army turning around, running scared. This is opposite of what Saul had earlier in this book, where they went against the Amalekites. And now, the Spirit of God has left Saul. They are now... The leader is afraid, and the nation is afraid. They're not just afraid, greatly afraid. And then look at verses 26 through 30. Now David spoke to the men who were standing with him, saying, What will be done to the man who kills this Philistine and who takes the takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should taunt the armies of the living God? We start to see David's heart. Who is this guy? Why should he taunt the armies of the living God? We can't let this be. And the people answered him in accord with this word, saying, thus it will be done to him who kills him. Just earlier it says he's going to give you riches and Saul will give you his daughter. And now, listen to what Eliab says to him. Now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David, and he said, why have you come down? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Your job is in the wilderness tending the sheep. Go home. And I know your insolence and the wickedness in your heart, for you have come down in order to see the battle. Obviously, Eliab didn't see David's real heart. And when you read those words and you see the anger of the oldest son, you must have remembered that day when Samuel said, well, not you, not you. Through eight people, seven other sons, not you, not you. Why have you come down here, David? What good are you going to do, David? You know, look at verse 32 and 33. He goes out and Saul hears what's going on, and Saul calls David in, and David says to Saul, let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth, while he has been a warrior from his youth. And I have written just discouragers. I mean, that's real easy. You know, it's real, real easy to be a discourager. You really can't think you can do this, do you? And really, when you think about David's heart, he had to have a strong heart to put up with those discouraging words. Verse 34 through 37, this is the, and listen to the words that as David goes through this. But David said to Saul, your servant was tending his father's sheep. I want to skip those. I want to jump down to 27. He says to Saul, you know, I've fought lions and bears. And God delivered them into my hands. And then verse 37, and David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, may the Lord be with you. David didn't say to Saul, watch this. Look what I'm about to do. He says, the Lord delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He will deliver the hand of this Philistine. This isn't about me, Saul. And then, you know, Saul looks at him and says, well, take my armor. And he says, I can't wear that stuff. And and then the Philistine, Goliath comes out. Then the Philistine came out and approached David with his shield bearer in front of him. And when the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and a handsome appearance. He didn't look like a soldier. You know, whenever you watch the Marine movies and these are like tough guys. These aren't like little boys with a stick and a. And I can see this, like, I'm thinking of a Marine standing out there going, "You dog. Who are you, David?" And the Philistine said to him, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David and his by his gods. And the Philistine also said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the sky and to the beasts of the air." And then look at what David says in 45 through 47. Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have taunted. You're not fighting me, Goliath. This isn't about me and my stick and my sling. You're taunting the God of Israel. This day the Lord will deliver you up into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. And I will give the dead bodies of the army of the Philistines this day to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts of the air, and all of the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." He is insane. Watch me. He's saying, watch what God will do. This is, we should change this. This is God and Goliath. You know, obviously David showed up. You know, he didn't. But the story is about David, about God and Goliath. It's God delivering David and the nation of Israel. Verse 47, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not deliver by sword or by spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. This isn't my fight, Goliath. The battle is the Lord's, not mine. It's almost like I should say that to myself every morning. You know, this ought to be on my bedpost. The battle's not mine. It's not yours. The struggles. I remember one time my mom said, "God's not going to give me more than I can take." And I'm like, "Mom, some of life we can't take." It's not your battle, Mom. It's God's battle. And he will deliver you into our hands. It's interesting that and God, he, in verse 47, will deliver you into whose hands? Not mine. David didn't say, he's going to deliver you into our hands. You taunted the God of Israel. And then, you know, the rest of the story. David wins. Thus, verse 50, "Thus David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and he struck the Philistine and killed him, and there was no sword in David's hand." The battle was not David's. It was God's battle. And as I thought through this, turn to... you know, because I'm not David, and you know, I'm not anointed king, but we do have other promises that are real easy for me to forget. Turn to John chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 27. The end of John, I think the Upper Room Discourse starts in 17, but this is right at the end of the Lord's ministry and with his disciples, and he gathers them together, and he's teaching them in the end, in chapter 14, verse 27 of John. "Peace I leave with you, My peace I give you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Let it not be fearful. I mean, what was the whole issue in Samuel 17, 1 Samuel, was fear. The Goliath scared Israel and scared Saul and Eliab. They were greatly dismayed and greatly afraid. Think of what the disciples felt like. When he said, I'm going away, and they were like, what do you mean you're going away? This is time for us. We're going to take over. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful. And then this is John 15:11. I know I'm jumping around, but these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be made full. He's talking about going away. It's funny because this verse, when I got confirmed, they in the Lutheran Church they write verses in your little confirmation book, and I found it years ago, and this was the verse, and I thought, oh, I should have learned it then. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be made full. Was this the? This might have been the heart that God saw in David. He wasn't afraid of the Philistine because he knew who God was. And just one more. John 16:33. Right at the end of John 16. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you would have tribulation, but take courage. I've overcome the world. To me, this is what God saw in David's heart. And that's what he wanted to teach his disciples. You know, the world's a scary place. Decisions are sometimes scary and hard. And life can get sad. If we forget who God is and the promises he made you and me. These things I've spoken unto you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you may have tribulation, but take courage, for I have overcome the world. And just like the God that David knew, that when he anointed him king, he could stand up in front of Goliath and say, you are not going to win. And we got a promise that says, you know, in this world you might have some tribulation, but take courage. Take courage, because I've overcome the world. That's pretty good. Father, again, sometimes these stories that we have heard from when we were kids about this underdog, little David, against a Goliath that was unbeatable. Yet the story is really more about you, Father, and your provision in David's life, and that you saw his heart. And you made him a promise that, and anointed him that he would one day be the king of Israel. Father, remind us of the promises you made to us through your Son. Sometimes we forget how good and how much you know and care about our lives. Each little detail of it. Father, grant us that peace that your Son promised, that we would take courage because you have overcome the world. It's in your Son's name I pray. Amen.
I can only imagine what it will be like.